This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torver. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Now, for all of those listeners that were worrying, Amy is back today. She is COVID-free, and we are very excited to have her back in our little podcast studio.
I don't know about that. You guys have been paying me out for saying that we should probably mention that I'm back.
Well, I found it quite funny because Amy was saying that when you got the test that they said you'll either receive a text message saying that it's negative or a phone call on a private number saying it's positive. And Sophie and I both wanted to prank call Amy on a private number to say it was positive. But we didn't get the chance because conveniently, just as we finished recording Friday's episode of the podcast, you got them all clear that you could have come over.
Well, it was quite good timing because Sophie was meant to be going to the shop and getting me dinner. And just as she was about to go out, it pinged to say that I was COVID-free. Well, apparently we've just had to pause things because Sophie lost it in hysterics, saying that she was pleased that I was unable to record the podcast. And Kate and Sophie are now trying to claim that the podcast got extra downloads because I wasn't a part of it.
I think that if there's a breakaway podcast, just called Sophie and Kate. Look, as much as we're ragging on you now, Amy, I did appreciate both of your help this week because I made a very expensive purchase on Marketplace. I bought a big ticket item. I got a table, a buffet, and 8 chairs.
The funniest thing was last week when we were trying to work out what to talk about, Kate said, "Oh, I reckon I should tell all the listeners about my absolute bargain I got off Facebook Marketplace." And there's been a bit of a contentious issue because I do not think it was a bargain.
Sophie is the only person that doesn't think it's a bargain. I've literally shown this to so many other people who actually know how much furniture costs. Perhaps I'll put it in the group. Look, I'm going to share it. So I got a table, as I said, table, 8 chairs and a buffet for $2,500.
Ripped off.
No, it's 15 months old. It has never been used and it was bought from a furniture shop that sells tables for around the $2,000 to $3,000 mark. Currently,
but it's secondhand.
Currently, the chairs are on sale for $249 each. So that is around $2,000 just for the chairs if I wanted them brand new.
But the second someone else's ass sits on that chair, it has gone down in value.
Look, the backstory is that Reese and I went to check out this furniture and we rocked up to an absolute mansion in Aldgate, which is up in the hills for those who aren't from South Australia. This property was beautiful. It sold for $1.4 million and the people that own it are basically professional flippers. They come in and renovate houses and then on-sell them. So they really had beautiful furniture in the house.
Sorry, did they on-sell the table and chairs then? Did it really cost that much?
Yeah, I reckon they're kind of pretty thrifty movers, so they probably aren't going to be giving you a bargain.
Look, you guys don't have any clue about how much real furniture costs because you're using a piece of wood that your boyfriend glued steel to.
Excuse me, that's a beautiful table he made.
Anyway,
yeah, but it's not a high quality piece of furniture.
Yeah, but it's for a rental.
Anyway, just moving on, I have to say the whole process that went into moving this table and chairs was hilarious. It was so heavy. So Kate rocked up to the house and she asked Soph and Brandon, Dale and I, and also our cousin Stewie to come along because the table was so heavy. I feel like these people thought we had turned up to bloody rob the joint.
There was a cast of thousands there. I was 5 minutes late and I rocked up and God, I've never seen so many people there to move a table.
Well, we'll have to put in the Facebook community whether you think Kate got ripped off or not. We'll put a little poll in. Do you think it's too much to pay $2,500 for some furniture on Facebook Marketplace?
Who are you, Kate? Madison Woolley?
She wouldn't buy on Facebook Marketplace.
Ah, but you know.
I love this. I'm getting ragged on for buying secondhand furniture at a very reasonable price.
Okay, I want you to decorate the table. Tart it up as best you can. Tart up your secondhand $1,000 table, $2,500, sorry, and put it in the group.
I went to that tanning place your wife suggested.
Was that place the Sun?
Chloe Zepp and Mitchell Orville have sparked debate about influencers' rights to privacy after they were forced to remove an Instagram post announcing they'd purchased their first home. The couple, who have 966,000 followers between them, asked the public to respect their privacy after fans managed to work out the address of their new home.
Now, Kate, let's go back to the start and the initial post that sparked it all.
Well, on Sunday, Mitch shared a really cute photo of himself, Chloe, and Artie out the front of the for sale sign of their new home. Now, in the background on the for sale sign, the address was actually blurred out. However, there was a description of the house above, and there were a few key words like luxury, Hamptons, and blue chip area. So under the photo, he shared the caption, "The greatest feeling in the world, 5 years together, a beautiful son, and now our first family home. The last year and a half have been a whole lot of growing pain and accountability. 2 years on, I went to Mario with a whole lot of tax and financial problems. My party habits were expensive and my life was slowly spiraling downhill. This is proof that it is never too late to put your head down and make something of yourself. So fucking proud and happy and can't wait to start the next chapter of my life with my family. March 11 couldn't come quick enough."
Before we get too far into it, I had to laugh because Mario, the accountant, he seems to be the accountant to the stars in the influencer world. He's managing Olivia Rogers and Brooke Hogan, and he's the guy that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago for sending out that Valentine's Day accounting gift pack.
When you say managing, you mean managing their accounts, and he must be doing a pretty good job of it to have all those influencers on board.
So, Kate, what actually happened after Mitch made this post public?
Well, a few hours later, Chloe went to her story and put up a picture of herself looking really frustrated. And she wrote, "People trying to find our address on real estate are the reason we can't share pics. Sorry, fam, I wish people weren't so creepy and could respect privacy, but here we are." She then followed up with another story with the caption, "There's people DMing me my own address. Seriously?" So then Mitch got involved and he said, he put a black background and wrote, "Had to delete the photo of the house. Sadly, we can't share these moments without people trying to Google and find out our address and share it around. We are slowly finding it harder and harder to share private parts of our lives without people overstepping. And since having Artie, privacy is far more important to us than it ever was before."
You know what? It's a fair point because I feel like once you have children, your view on your privacy changes a little bit because they might be concerned that someone could come and take Artie, or they don't want people lingering out the front of the house.
Well, I also saw in a subsequent Q&A, a fan asked what's been on your mind at the moment, and he wrote, "I've been struggling a bit today. I won't be sharing the messages, but after buying my first home, some of the creepy and fucked up messages I got with my new address was really mentally off-putting. Makes me feel super hesitant to keep sharing the personal details in my life, but I feel that's what makes me authentic online. This sucks."
It's funny that he said he wasn't going to share any DMs because he then went on to share a message that someone sent them, and he actually publicly named them and showed everyone their account. So basically sending haters to this person. And this person wrote to him, "You're not even famous. No one wants to stalk you."
Do you guys think it was fair that he included that follower's name?
I'm in two minds about it because I feel like it's very risky sending hate in your own name, and I don't have any problem with people naming trolls. However, it seems pretty hypocritical if you're talking about your own privacy and then you're outing someone else publicly.
That's a really good point about privacy because I hadn't actually connected the dots there, Kate. The thing I find kind of strange though is I don't really think that this is a really hateful comment. I think it's more of a joking comment. You know, you're not even that famous.
Yeah, well, it might have been better for him to actually share a creepy comment so people got more of an insight into what he was feeling.
Just back to Mitch's point about him now feeling hesitant to share his life online. It's an interesting point because one would say that the house has been built on Instagram and on sharing his life. So how does he propose paying for the house if he's not going to share any snippets of his life online anymore?
Exactly right. He's got a massive mortgage now. I mean, I'm assuming they didn't pay for the house outright. He's got a lifestyle only an influencer really could pay for. So how does he think he's going to be able to continue to pay for this lifestyle if he's not sharing his life?
Yeah. And he has actually spoken in the past before about how he and Chloe use YouTube to keep people engaged in their lives and also to support their businesses because they know at the end of the day, they could keep selling Chloe Zepp clothes, but unless they keep sharing their lives online, no one's going to be interested in the product.
Well, as soon as they stop sharing their lives online, they become irrelevant. So no one, as you said, is going to give a shit about purchasing Chloe Zepp's clothing.
Yeah, and before we get into the whole privacy issue, I wanted to hear your guys' thoughts on influencers' privilege because I feel like a lot of people were driven to Google the address as the description involved the word luxury.
Well, I've got to be honest, I was very intrigued when I saw they put the for sale sign up, and I personally wanted to know how much the house cost.
Yeah, I had a bit of a sticky beak online because people in our community were sharing photos of the house. I didn't want to know the address. I don't think that's what people were actually interested in. They wanted to see the photos of the inside of the house. And to be fair, you could argue, oh, well, people could have waited until Chloe and Mitch took people inside in a YouTube video, but they haven't posted since December last year.
And they've been teasing it the whole time. Chloe put up a sneak peek. I'm sorry. The whole thing is, when these influencers keep teasing these things to you, it does increase your anticipation to see it. So I can see why people were trying to find it, but I do have an issue with people posting the address or rocking up to have a sticky beak at the address.
Yeah. At the end of the day, though, Chloe and Mitch aren't the first influencers that this has happened to. I know a lot of people know where Sarah's Day live. They know where Sky Wheatley lives. And I really think it comes down to the fact that we're so interested in what an influencer's paycheck actually is, because it's so secretive and you hear these big dollars mentioned and, you know, they, oh, this person gets $70,000 for an Instagram post. So I feel knowing how much their house costs is kind of indicative of how much they must be earning. And I think that's where a lot of the interest comes from.
Yeah. Something that irked me in Mitch's post was he said that he got his first home by putting his head down, and he told his followers that it was never too late to do so as well. And I just think that he really should have acknowledged his privilege in this post.
He's also, isn't he 22? It's never too late. My gosh, I'm 30, turning 32. I don't have my own house yet.
But he's saying to people perhaps who were older than him, it's never too late.
Yeah, I do find this influx of influencers showing off their really expensive houses kind of depressing, because as you say, it's not really in line with the everyday human that's following them on Instagram and saying, oh yeah, just put your head down. It's very out of touch with normal people.
Well, it's really hard because as much as people do put their heads down when they are in a very low earning job, it doesn't mean they're going to get there any quicker to achieving a home loan, particularly at the moment when we're experiencing a 20% rise in the market at the moment. I know we've all been looking, and it's just a really terrible time to get in.
It is, but I mean, we can't blame Chloe and Mitch on the fact that some people will never have as much money as they have. I'm sure they have put in a lot of hard work. It just, I suppose it's frustrating for people who aren't working in the influencer world when they look into it and go, well, I could never just make $100,000 to put towards a house.
I'm not saying I blame them, but what I'm saying is that it would be nice if they actually acknowledged their privilege. That caption was kind of a pumping his tires moment, saying, I've done all of this in 2 years. However, it takes people, like normal people, 10 years to save for a house. And particularly for some people are never going to be able to afford a $1.85 million house, especially in your early 20s.
Do you know what I'm noticing at the moment? And I feel like 2 years ago, there was this very like boss girl attitude that was on Instagram a lot. Now I feel like we're having this resurgence, but it's this boss boy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've seen him and also Mitch, Talia Skane's boyfriend, posting a lot of inspirational business quotes and entrepreneurial things. And I feel like saying, look, guys, you might be really good at your businesses and your jobs, but you've also got a head up in the industry because you were earning a shit ton of money by posting on Instagram. Mm.
Well, they're leveraging off the fame of their girlfriends, a lot of them. I'm not saying so much with Mitch because he had a lot of success with Angry Dad, but with Mitch Third, I mean, you've got Talia Skanes, one of Australia's biggest influencers, sharing about your drink bottles. That's obviously going to give you a head start.
Yeah, and I saw in Mitch Third's Q&A that she was the only influencer he actually used to promote the drink bottles. Anyway, I was going to get back on the topic. Do you guys think it's hypocritical for influencers to preach about privacy when they make huge amounts of money from essentially sharing their private lives online?
I don't know, because we kind of touched on this last week in regards to Sarah's Day, and I think there are times where people step over the mark. I mean, I think one of those times is when people are sending Mitch and Chloe's address to them, because that could be perceived as quite threatening, especially when you do have a young baby. But I think there's a difference between, obviously, as we said before, people have a thirst for this type of information, and as long as you're just sharing it to have a bit of a sticky beak, I don't think there's something wrong with it. I do think it's wrong to share the address publicly, though.
When you talk about this thirst, it is difficult because a lot of influencers try and create this thirst for attention in order to monetize big events in their life. And I think moving into your first home is a massive event for a lot of influencers out there. And I would be very surprised if Chloe and Mitch weren't already in talks with different brands to, you know, potentially promote renovations that they're doing or different furniture that they've purchased. So I'm in very much two minds. As you said, I think they have a child and I really think that his safety and privacy is important. But again, like Sarah's Day, it's hard when they do feature their child a lot in their videos and essentially monetize that child's moments along in their life as well. Is it just me, or does it feel like influencers want the lifestyle of the rich and famous but without any of the negative consequences? Yeah. Because often celebrities are told that, you know, you don't have any privacy because you're rich and you're famous. We saw the Britney Spears documentary recently, and basically her rights as a human being were taken away. She's followed by paparazzi everywhere, exploited by people she has in her life and the media. However, I feel like influencers are now getting a taste of it. And I feel like, unfortunately, that seems to be the payoff for earning a lot of money and for having a lot of admiration.
Do you know what I also don't get is you have the opportunity when you buy a house to ask the real estate agent not to list it on the website. Mm. I don't understand why none of these people are just not asking that simple question.
Well, was it because was it finalized? Maybe it wasn't finalized.
No, it was finalized because when you Googled it, it said sold. I suppose what it really comes down to is when does it become the responsibility of the person to ensure their privacy? And I think it's now becoming, as you touched upon before, something that influencers need to think about when they are sharing their lives. And unfortunately, I think once influencers get to the stage where they have millions of followers, they're going to start retreating and not sharing as much of their lives. And then they're basically going to become redundant.
It's such a catch-22 situation, isn't it?
Mm. It is. Well, I noticed Sammy Robinson shared news that she'd purchased a house this week, and she shared a photo and she learnt from Chloe and Mitch and had everything blurred out, even the description. And she also shared a photo of her kitchen, but it was only up for a few minutes and she quickly deleted it. So I'm guessing that Chloe and Mitch's story are going to make other influencers think twice about sharing too many details.
Yeah, well, Chloe and Sammy are friends, so it was interesting to see how Sammy dealt with that news. It did make me think, though, did she mean to share that photo with close friends?
Maybe. Maybe it's all the influencers that are driving up the house prices at the moment. They're just gone, yep, now's time to buy.
It's funny you say that because it seems like Chloe and Mitch actually paid a very hefty price for their house. In December 2019, it was actually sold for $1.3 million and they paid $1.85 million.
To be fair, it had extensive renovations from what I saw.
$500,000 worth of renovations?
Look, I don't know. Everything's gone up. It's crazy. We're living in a crazy time.
It's a seller's market at the moment,
isn't
it?
That's right.
Who's Beverly Macca? The girl Dave went out with.
Only once.
Well, that's all it takes.
I did now.
Better not, don't you dirty coward. Have I ever seen Beverly Macca?
No more about Beverly Macca.
Anthony, make a brew.
I've just been to the shop.
Come on, the kettle's already boiled, lazy ass. And it's your own fault for stirring the shit.
Just days out from Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's tell-all interview with Oprah Winfrey, the pregnant Duchess has been accused of bullying her staffers. The allegations have been described as a calculated smear campaign against Meghan, with the royal family being accused of trying to discredit her before the interview airs. Soph, can you tell us what's happened so far?
It is absolutely extraordinary what is happening at the moment, and it is very reminiscent of when Princess Diana gave that exclusive interview inside the palace where she spoke about Prince Charles's affair with Camilla. So I don't know, I'm a huge royal fan, so I just love all of this.
I have been frothing the snippets from the Oprah interview. I cannot wait for, well, today. It's on tonight, actually.
Yeah, I'm so excited. But so what are the actual bullying claims against Meghan? Because it all sounds like a bit of bullshit to me.
Well, the Times has published a report alleging that Meghan Markle has bullied her staffers, and this has actually come from one of her closest advisors, and he claims that she drove two personal assistants out of the household and that she was constantly undermining the confidence of a third staffer. Now, these explosive reports claim that staff would be reduced to tears, that one staffer had been humiliated by Meghan, and that one worker couldn't stop shaking when they anticipated a confrontation with Meghan. Another source also claimed that it felt like Meghan's treatment of them was more emotional cruelty and manipulation as opposed to bullying, which I don't know, that just sounds as bad. While another one said that there were a lot of broken people and that young women were broken by her behavior. Mm. So these are pretty huge claims being made about Meghan. Amy, you have a few more details about the claims.
Yeah, well, one of the Times sources said that basically Harry and Meghan acted like a couple of teenagers and were impossible to deal with and pushed her to the limit. A source also told the Times there was an incident during the couple's tour to Australia, New Zealand, Fiji and Tonga in 2018, which was particularly difficult for staff to deal with. The newspaper reported how Meghan had cut short a visit to a market in Fiji because she was allegedly concerned about the presence of a UN organisation promoting women, with which she had worked with before, and she made it clear she no longer wished to have anything to do with them. At the time, officials for the royal family had suggested that she had left because it was humid and the crowd was oppressive in the market. However, this source alleged that Meghan turned to a staff member and hissed at them, and she was clearly enraged about the fact that this group was there.
Oh, that's such bullying, isn't it? Such bullying behaviour by her.
Yeah. Well, this source also claims to have seen the staff member that Meghan apparently hissed at crying in a car.
How many of us have cried at work, though? I'm very against bullying, but to me, when I listen to those examples, it seems like they're very high-pressure situations where people would not be getting much sleep. And I have been known to burst into tears at work and had to go cry in the bathroom and, like, get myself together.
The whole thing really made me reflect on the classic gender differences that are accepted in different workplaces. So, for example, as women, we're supposed to be stereotypically always warm and kind and caring, whereas men are allowed to be stronger and direct and to the point. So the second that a woman stands up for herself or is assertive or, you know, to the point, she's automatically called a bitch or a bully. And I just feel like in these situations, perhaps this is what is happening with Meghan. And I also feel like the fact we do have to bring race into this because I'm sorry, this is what's happening at the moment. This is a colored woman who is being called a bully simply for telling a work colleague off. Sorry, not a work colleague, her PA off.
Yeah, but and we've got to remember, she's in charge there. She is in the situation where she is the boss. So why can't she tell someone that, you know, they've actually made a mistake, that this person was not meant to be there?
Just on your point, Sophie, about the discussion of how men and women are portrayed differently, this article that was printed by the Daily Mail about the accusations, they were just so glowing of Harry. Everything was like, oh, this Meghan, she's tricked Harry into this. The way they described Harry was as if he's some sweet little puppy dog that's been tricked into leaving the royal family all for Meghan.
Well, it's the whole narrative that Buckingham Palace has been perpetuating the whole time. And it is really interesting to look at the statement they put out. And this statement, it's been described as a highly unusual statement. So the palace said on social media, they're very concerned about the allegations and that their HR team will be looking into the circumstances outlined in the Times article. It said members of staff involved at the time, including those who have left their household, will be invited to participate to see if lessons can be learnt. It also said that the royal household does not and will not tolerate bullying or harassment in the workplace.
Oh, I wonder if this would be the same if it came out that Prince William and Kate Middleton.
Do you know what really annoys me? And maybe this is because of the background Soph and I have both experienced in previous workplaces. I just feel like this narrative is always created that a woman is a bully. And it's so hard if you've been accused of something like that. It is so hard to say, no, I'm not.
It's because mud sticks.
Yeah, exactly right. I was going to say that. Mud sticks. And this is a clear smear campaign to discredit everything Meghan is about to say in this interview with Oprah Winfrey, which makes me even more interested to watch the interview because obviously some explosive claims are going to come out.
Well, that's right. Meghan has issued a statement denying the bullying, of course, and saying that it is an attack on her character. So Harry and Meghan issued a legal letter to the Times with their lawyers accusing the publication of being used by Buckingham Palace to peddle a wholly false narrative. The letter said, let's just call this what it is, a calculated smear campaign based on misleading and harmful misinformation. We are disappointed to see this defamatory portrayal of the Duchess of Sussex given credibility by a media outlet. It's no coincidence that distorted several-year-old accusations aimed at undermining the Duchess are being briefed to the British media shortly before she and the Duke are set to speak openly and honestly about their experience of recent years.
Exactly right. The timing is just ridiculous. Like, how are we supposed to believe that this has organically come out at this time? I mean, there were rumors a couple of years ago that the staffers weren't happy with Meghan. And as everyone's been saying, this is just an image that they keep trying to push out there that Meghan is not a very nice person. And it's something that a lot of people want to believe because she is attractive. She is smart. She is a famous person before Harry. She stands on her own. And a lot of people are jealous and don't like that.
No, but do you know what? People don't like strong women, which is why they try and tear them down all the time. And it is their own inbuilt misogyny that is leading to this kind, these kind of articles coming out. Let's discredit Meghan. Let's make her seem like a liar.
Do you know what pisses me off as well? The fact that the Oprah interview has been pre-recorded, so they can't even talk about these latest allegations.
What I find quite funny is, do they have they not heard that everyone's been watching The Crown? I know that sounds so stupid, but we've seen all the background of what goes on with the press secretaries and everything. We're all clued up as to exactly what is happening right now.
Did anyone see Harry talking about the crown on James Corden?
No.
Because I feel like that appearance on The Late Late Show was a beautiful piece of PR.
And that's what annoys me. I feel like they've seen how popular and how likable Harry and Meghan have come across in this interview. And they've thought, what can we do to discredit them?
Oh, just a side note, because I feel like we need to talk about that interview. It was amazing. Like, they stopped at the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air's house, and they were sort of joking that they were going to buy the house, and they got Meghan on the phone, and of course she looked stunning. However, Harry legitimately needed to use the bathroom, so went inside. I said to Reese, because we were watching it together, I'm like, can you imagine if Prince Harry was like, oh, can I just duck in to use your toilet? The panic that would overcome me thinking, is it clean?
I love as well that he said that his grandma bought Archie a waffle maker, aka the Queen, for Christmas. I just love all those little details because it does remind you that they are real people.
Oh, and the bullshit that he said that Archie's first word was crocodile. Like, how can a baby's first word be a three-syllable word
I don't think he'd be lying, though.
Really? I find it very hard to believe.
I mean, I don't have children, so I don't know. But
yeah.
Well, talking about media appearances and this upcoming interview, have you guys heard the excerpt from this Oprah interview?
I have. Hence why I'm so excited.
Oh my God. So basically, we hear Oprah say, how do you feel about the palace hearing you speak your truth today? Which one I find so funny because Oprah's always about speaking your truth.
I bloody love Oprah.
So basically, I like her little glasses she's got
I'm
on.
I'm just thrown that she's actually still doing interviews, which is bloody great. She's
only top notch ones.
Yeah. So Meghan responded, I don't know how they could expect that after all of this time, we would just be silent if there is an active role that the firm is playing in perpetuating falsehoods about us. So the firm is, of course, the British royal family, and they sometimes use that term to describe themselves. She went on to say, and if that comes with risk of losing things, I mean, there's a lot that's already being lost.
It just is so reminiscent of the Princess Diana era. And I know that there are a lot of conspiracy theories around her death. And one of them, of course, involved the royal family. And a lot of people think that they potentially could be behind her death. And to be honest, I really hope that's not the case. But when you think about the fact that she was about to marry a Muslim man. And in that time in the 90s, that was so against what the royal family was about. It really does make you think. And the fact that it is so orchestrated at the moment, the royal family have the media in their pockets.
Did anyone else see the rumors today that have come out? I mean, it's from the Daily Mail, so who knows how true it is. But they're basically saying that Meghan has accused Camilla and Kate Middleton of leaking these reports.
Oh my gosh, it blows my mind that the press are now trying to go women against women.
Like, it's a big catfight now. I don't really believe any of that. I don't think that Kate Middleton or Camilla have the power to be leaking these stories.
They have nothing to bloody do with it. It's actually so ridiculous. I mean, is this the same publication that announced that Meghan and Harry had broken up on the day they announced they were pregnant with their second child?
It's just ridiculous. Kate, you were talking before about the Princess Diana era, an era that I love. I utterly adore Princess Diana. But sometimes I think about how her era would have been changed with social media because at the moment, the page called Dumour, Kate, can you pronounce it properly?
I think it's Dumour.
However it's pronounced, Dumour.
It's because it's two and me.
Oh, okay.
In French.
Well, anyway,
we did French in year eight.
We discussed them a few weeks ago because they are similar to Celeb Spellcheck, but they report on huge celebrities. Anyway, they've been posting a lot about the Meghan Markle saga at the moment, and they shared an anonymous email that was allegedly sent in by someone who used to work with the palace assistant who's at the center of these claims. So
excellent.
Basically, someone has written in who used to work with the PA who's made these complaints about Meghan.
Mm-hmm.
So this girl was a referee when this worker went for a job at the palace.
Yeah.
So basically, unbeknownst to me, in England, you were not allowed to actually give a thoroughly truthful report about someone.
Well, isn't it just a negative report?
Yeah, a negative report.
So does that basically mean if someone, you ring someone in England and says, oh, what did you think of this person? You just say, yes, they worked here. Like, you
pretty
don't give
much.
Them any positive, but you can't. It's bizarre to me because what's the point of having a referee?
Yeah, it seems utterly ridiculous. But so this anonymous person wrote in and said that in reality, The person who was hired as Megan's PA had zero experience and embellished her CV. So she said that this woman, this new PA, was planning a historic wedding, which was very different to the limited tasks she was used to doing at the workplace.
So reading between the lines, what you could take from this is that this person who is being referred to in the story, this staffer, they're not particularly great at their job. No. And that's why they might have been told off by Megan.
Well, yeah, it's that they're not up for the job. She's had a PA who doesn't even know the basics. Yet when you're a PA for the Duchess of Sussex, there's a lot on your agenda to do and you have to be a very, very organized person.
Well, it's basically your whole life. From what we see on The Crown, they are very close to the royal family. I do find it's fascinating that the royal family hired someone so inept and out of their depth for such an important role. It does make me have question marks whether this was something that they purposely did.
Do you know what's crazy to me is the fact that the royal family has come out with this massive press release talking about how they're going to look into these claims. What about all the claims against Prince Andrew? They've been extremely tight-lipped about that.
Exactly right. So hang on. Meghan Markle making a staff member cry because they weren't good enough at their job is the same level, or sorry, worse than Prince Andrew being a pedophile.
Kate, you forgot to mention that she also didn't wear a hat to meet the Queen, and that's another one of the things that she's done wrong.
The height of rudeness.
Well, and that's the whole point is that they have launched an official investigation into her conduct and these bullying claims, yet no official investigation has been launched into Prince Andrew's friendship with a late child sex offender and also his own sexual abuse claims.
It's disgusting. It's just ridiculous. I mean, they did do that really great interview with him where he made himself look like the biggest fucking liar ever.
What is so clear is that Meghan has been used now for a number of years to deflect away from the real issues that are going on in the royal family. Someone else wrote into Jamoa and said that they were a family member of someone who worked as a staffer there. And it sounded like stories started circulating around Meghan the second that news broke that Prince William may be cheating on Kate Middleton. And this may become as news to a lot of people because this really hasn't been broadly reported in the press. And it sounds like the royal family are so hell-bent on protecting the crown, which, Amy, they spoke about a lot on the show. Mm-hmm. They are so hell-bent on protecting the crown and making sure that the future king is seen in the best eyes possible. So not only has she been used to deflect blame off Prince William, but also now Prince Andrew.
Well, this whole storyline of this movie star coming in and fucking up the royal family isn't a new one, because back with King Edward, he actually abdicated the throne and ran away with movie star Wallis Simpson. And that caused a lot of issues for the royal family.
You forgot, Kate, she was a divorcee.
Yes, a divorcee like Meghan. I mean, she wasn't black, so...
Do you know what I just don't...
She's American.
Yeah.
Do you know what I just don't understand? This was the royal family's one chance to be really cool and up with the times and relevant.
And diverse.
This is a woman who is mixed race. She's a fucking movie star. She's incredibly articulate. She's smart. She's an activist. She's a feminist. She's everything that Gen Zers and millennials are looking for and looking to look up to. Yet we have this stuffy old bloody woman who has an issue with her for some reason.
Well, I don't know if it's just the Queen that has an issue with her. I think it's the whole establishment. And again, history repeating itself. We've seen this with Princess Diana. Princess Diana was the people's princess and she was doing absolutely amazing things. And she was sadly cut down in her prime. And I just really hope that Prince Harry and Meghan have got away in time and are able to actually continue the positive work that Princess Diana was doing, because I feel like Harry very much falls into the background here. But from what I've heard of him recently, I'm very impressed and I'm very excited to see what he does now that he is free from the royal family.
And for those who are interested in tuning into this Oprah interview, it's going to be on 10 and 10 Play at 7:30. I'm so excited to hear what happens.
There's a hair on your face. Can I get it?
Probably your rang of fucking hair. It's all over my bathroom floor. I pick it up.
Let's get into the influencer rap, and it's going to be a little bit different today because we decided we wanted to do a deep dive into Ali Orton's activewear launch, which happened on Friday. Amy, can you fill us in, because you've caused a little bit of controversy online regarding the event?
I have. Well, On Friday, I was flicking through my Instagram story and I noticed that Talia Skaines had attended an event for Muscle Republic Apparel, which is an activewear brand.
That name just completely rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
It just screams diversity and a brand that I'd want to wear.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the line by Ali Orton is called Sugar.
Can I just say, it's a very ironic name for an activewear brand. It's not very healthy.
No, it's not. So basically, this was a typical influencer event. They had a booty bands all set up for the girls. They had fitness mats out. So everyone was doing a bit of exercise. But the thing that stood out the most was the complete lack of diversity in terms of the influencers that were invited to this event. Now, I feel like this comment in our group summed up the photo very well. It said, "This photo bullied me and told me I was a dork at high school."
I've got to say, I felt like I was transported back into 2014 when influencer events were a new thing, because literally everyone at the event looked exactly the same.
They did.
I think the only thing that was different about these girls was that there was a slightly different shade of blonde hair to all of them.
There were a couple of brunettes too, Sophie. Don't forget that. Yeah.
And I do want to point out one of the girls is half Filipino.
Look, that's a step in the right direction that they did have someone with Filipino background. However, when I look at that photo, I see a lot of girls that look white. I would like to see some color in there. I'd like to see black women. I would like to see women with disabilities.
Different ages.
Different body types. The women are size 6 to 8 in the photo.
Well, as you said, Kate, all of the girls had the same skin tone, and that was one issue that a lot of people in our Facebook community were really upset about. When I did share this photo, a lot of people went over to the brand's Instagram page and started questioning why there was such a lack of diversity. And I think the most shocking thing is this brand's reaction to those comments.
It's funny because their PR manager was replying to the comments asking about the lack of diversity, and I would be very surprised if this person actually had a degree in PR, because it looks like an absolute PR nightmare unfolding on that Instagram account.
That's exactly what it is, Kate. So in response to a comment calling for more diversity, the brand wrote back, "We had multiple girls invited that were curvier sizes that were unable to make the event last minute, and your comments are making our other guests feel as if they aren't enough." So basically, they're throwing an insult back at this person who is concerned about the lack of diversity, saying that, oh no, you're making our girls feel uncomfortable.
Oh, it's so sad that the privileged white women who are size 6 are feeling uncomfortable. What about the women that look at those photos and don't see themselves reflected back and feel like shit?
What, didn't they also point out that, you know, oh, in the photo, we did have some people wearing medium-sized clothes?
Yeah, so they said that some of the girls were a size medium and they also had Asian heritage in them, which I thought was really odd to point out in such a way.
It actually makes me feel sick to be pointing out that this person has a bit of Asian heritage.
Yeah. Well, things actually got worse. After these comments were posted, the brand then shut down the ability for people to be able to comment on the photo of the influencers at the event. They then put up a photo of a woman who was also at the event, who was a plus size woman. They wrote, "Check out Anna wearing a size 14. She's an extra large in the top and a large in the bottom." It was so obvious they only did this to deflect comments and say, oh, look, we did have someone plus size at the event. What someone pointed out, though, was this woman was not featured in the influencer photo, which made me do a little bit of research. So I clicked on this girl's page and it turns out she's actually a graphic designer for the brand. So she was not invited to the event. She was working at the event and she still wasn't included in the photograph.
It just appears to be very tokenistic. And this second thought, let's just chuck anyone who's over a size 10, it appears, to be in any sort of active wear and just act like we're doing the right thing.
Well, it's quite clear that they were scrambling to find any evidence of someone bigger than a size 8 at the event. And they had to go with a staff member there that didn't even, well, that wasn't even allowed to be in the main photo. To make matters worse, the PR manager on Instagram claimed that they had invited curvier girls to the event, but the large to extra large women had cancelled last minute. Now, I would really like to know who they invited to that event.
I didn't like how the blame was put on those who dared not to attend the event. And yeah, it also made me think that maybe a lot of the girls all look the same because they're all the influencer Ali's friends. Because I feel like a lot of the time that these influencers only hang out with people who look like them.
Oh my gosh, I will be watching a vlog with Talia Skaines. I think it was the Kris Kringle
vlog.
And she literally was sitting there and Every single girl there had blonde hair, fake boobs, was tanned, was a size 6 to 8, and was wearing some sort of revealing outfit. And I'm like, you guys look like carbon copies. I feel like they look more identical than the three of us.
Yeah. Well, we've actually reached out to Muscle Republic to ask the question of who were the plus size influencers that this brand actually invited to the event that pulled out last minute. And unsurprisingly, they're yet to respond with the names of those influencers. If they do, we will put them in our Facebook community. The other issue that's raised is the sizing of all of these activewear companies. So this particular brand, this Sugar collection, it only goes up to an extra large. And this is quite common for many activewear brands. So Gymshark and Zepp, they only go up to an extra large. White Fox Boutique stocks an extra, extra large. Lululemon only goes to a size 16. And to my knowledge, Stax and Brittany Saunders activewear line are some of the only brands that go up to a 4XL. And what's also disturbing is previously Ali Orton confirmed via her Instagram that the Muscle Republic apparel runs small. So normally she's an extra small and she can only fit into a small in this line. So basically, if you're a size 14 to 16, there's going to be a high chance that you can't even fit into these activewear clothing.
At the end of the day, it's just bad business. And when you look at a successful company like Stax, who have embraced diversity, it is crazy that other brands like Sugar are not doing the same. Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for joining us again.
And if you do want to join in the conversation, please come over and join us in our Outspoken Facebook community. You can also follow us on Instagram at outspoken_the_podcast. And if you do have time, we'd love if you could leave us a review because we really appreciate it. As we've mentioned a few times, this is our side hustle and we do this after work. So we would love if you could leave us a review.